This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Fly the W podcast. This is season 4, episode number 18. Sayonara, Cub fans. Don't forget to listen, download, review, and most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. Follow on all the socials. Fly the W670 on Twitter, Instagram. Fly the W on Facebook, or email Crawley and I, flythew670@gmail.com. Well, Crawley, as we're doing this, the Cubs are flying back from Japan, heading back to Phoenix, as they will get back there later tonight, and they will then begin to get back into spring training mode before, I guess, just going a little bit and then taking on the Diamondbacks to open up the season.
Yeah, and hopefully everybody is calm. I know it didn't end up like we wanted it to, the two-game sweep by the Dodgers, but hey, here's the thing. They have played probably one of the best teams in baseball, right? And I thought they did okay. It wasn't, you know, we're going to go through it and everything, but you know, I think let's not overreact to two games in a very kind of bizarre situation. We're going to do spring training, play two games, and then come back and do spring training. I mean, it's a weird situation, but I would say try not to overreact to these two games. It's, you know, it is what it is. It didn't turn out that way. You get ready to play
who
again.
Who am I doing this podcast with? No big deal. Don't get upset. I mean,
I'm not going to get overreact over two games.
Shrug the shoulder, but it's not, it's not the two games. It's how they looked in the, well, we'll get into that.
We'll get there. Okay. And so obviously, you know, since the last time we talked, we had to figure out who was getting on the plane.
Right. That was the thing. Who's getting on the Big Bird? Yeah.
And so the Cubs are allowed to travel with 31 players for the trip to Japan, the 26-man roster plus 5 extra guys. There are a few players that did not make the trip. Some were surprising, others not so much. The last cuts before the trip, you know, were Nico Horner, Javier Assad, Kevin Alcantara, and Keegan Thompson. Now, no surprise about Nico and Assad. No, you know, obviously they were injured. We knew that Nico was going to be getting his bats in the backfields and playing games in Arizona with the minor league squads and stuff like that. And so the goal is to get Nico ready for the domestic home opener. We need a beer sponsorship when we talk about the domestic. But the Alcantara, I think, was more of the surprise. He had a good spring. He just didn't end up on the plane. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and question that move. It makes sense, you know, when you look at the roster and who ended up making it. And then I talked about Keegan Thompson, Dustin. I just I wasn't impressed with where he was going with it the springtime, and there just wasn't room to kind of bring him along there. So,
but at one point, though, Keegan Thompson was like the guy as far as Cubs pitching prospects. He was much more thought of than Justin Steele. He was ahead of Justin Steele. They kind of came up together.
Right. And they both kind of came in as like a middle bullpen role type thing, long man. And just injuries and stuff. It didn't work out. Obviously they cut him last year. He caught on, but then it didn't work there. And they gave him a shot here. But here's the thing. If you told me Keegan Thompson had options, then I'm thinking maybe there's a chance. They just can't have a bullpen full of guys with no options. It wasn't going to work. So Keegan had to either blow your mind.
Oh, right. No, listen, I totally agree. I get it. I'm just saying, I think it's important for the listener to remember that this was a guy that at one point was thought of very, very highly by this organization.
Oh, yeah. And you get plenty of them, and injuries happen. And sometimes things just, Rowan Wick is another guy I remember like, wow, this guy's going to be great. And just doesn't happen sometimes. And for Keegan, you hope he catches on somewhere. But he didn't make the plane trip, and later on he's going to get DFA'd. But Jordan Wicks, Ben Brown, Daniel Palencia, non-roster invitee Brad Keller, who's looked really good. Matt Shaw was not officially put on when the plane left on the roster yet, and non-roster invitee catcher Reese McGuire. And so, you have to have that extra catcher in case, God forbid, something happens. So Reese McGuire was out there. And so the Cubs get to Japan. And when they start playing games, right, they weren't there for a sightseeing tour, right?
Are we sure about that? You say that with conviction, Crowley. Yeah. I might beg to differ. Okay. I might beg to differ. I'm wondering exactly what they were there to do.
Well, they did play baseball in the first
game. Other than to spread the love that we both have of the game.
Right. And we're going to talk about that, but that is part of it. I mean, it's part of the game.
Oh, for sure. Listen, the ambassadorship is part of it. Just, I feel that the Dodgers handled business one way and the Cubs handled it another.
Right. And so with the Cubs, they were going to play the first game against the Hanshin Tigers. That was on Friday night, I want to say, at like 10 o'clock that came on. So we were watching.
Oh, yeah, hard to remember exactly, our Saturday morning, their Saturday night. It's hard to keep track. They're like 12 hours. They're 12 hours ahead of us.
Right. And I got to tell you, I was shocked. I did not know former Cubs closer Kyuji Fujikawa was was the manager of the Tigers. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, oh my God, he actually had a bobblehead with the Cubs. He's in my bobblehead collection. And so the Cubs already council announced that they were going to do a bullpen game and the Tigers were going to go with 20-year-old Keito Mombetsu. And so Mombetsu absolutely mowed down the Cubs. Dustin, he was perfect through five innings, no walks, two Ks. Quite the impression by the youngster, and I'm sure MLB teams were impressed as well. Now, Jed wasn't going to sign him then and there, obviously. It's going to be years before he can be posted by the – well, I don't want to say that. But in Japan, domestic free agency takes it happens after 6 years. And then to get from one one Japanese team to another takes 6 years to do that. And then 7 or 8 years if you want to switch leagues, right? But to MLB, but any player on NPB who wants to become an international free agent before accumulating that 9 years of experience can ask to be posted, right, by his Japanese team. And then that team gets 20% of the total guaranteed value of the contract. So it can happen. It just, there is complexities. And that's why Roki Sasaki, who was the starter for game two for the Dodgers, that's why he's making like the league minimum. Is because of he's not seen as a free agent, he's seen as a international draftee.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of complications, but watching Mombetsu pitch, I mean, that guy's pitches were just everywhere. It was unbelievable. As far as the offense for the Cubs, they didn't get their first hit until the sixth inning. Miguel Amaya single. They finished with three hits, no extra base hits, and two walks. They only had two runners on base in the same inning once in the seventh inning, so wasn't necessarily close. And Council decided to do a bullpen game. He used nine different pitchers. Three Cubs relievers were responsible for giving up one run each. Two of them have had awful springs. Caleb Thielbar, the Cubs got him this offseason, gave up one run on two hits, and so did Tyson Miller. Thielbar is the only lefty on the Cubs roster right now, and he has not looked good at all in the spring, in my opinion. And so that question that we had last year, who's going to be the lefty reliever, I don't know if it's settled right now. Hopefully he picks it up in the second half of spring. And then we've talked about Tyson Miller, who was the savior last season. He has no options left, and he has struggled all spring to pitch clean innings. And so it's something to really kind of keep an eye on, especially with Tyson Miller, because, again, that's why Keegan Thompson's not on this team. He didn't have options.
Right.
This may be another issue for Tyson Miller. Porter Hodge gave up the other run, but I'm way more concerned. I think Porter's had a good spring. He gave up one run. One thing I do want the listeners to keep in mind, I don't know if everybody watched these games in Japan, but in the games that were played against the Japanese team, in the exhibition games, the American team's pitchers used MLB, official Major League Baseballs.
Oh, this was interesting, yep.
And the Japanese teams used the NPB ball. Now, the NPB ball is smaller, has tighter seams, and it doesn't travel as far as the MLB ball. Say I hit one that was 111 miles per hour out the bat, and you just, from the sound off the bat, you're saying, that's gone. And it landed right before the warning track. And so,
but the games, the first two real games they played with major league balls,
just the exhibitions.
Okay.
But just something to keep in mind that some balls were hit well by the Cubs, and you wonder if you were using MLB balls, if those would have been gone.
Are we sure that when they played the real games that maybe the Dodgers had the real balls and the Cubs had the Japanese balls?
There is a possibility. I like your thinking on that.
Always a conspiracy theory.
Now, as far as the next exhibition game, the Cubs win 4-1. They took on the Yomiuri Giants, the legendary baseball team of Japan, equivalent of the Yankees. Council elected to go with two starters in the game to keep them stretched out. As far as Jameson Taillon, he went 4-3. He gave up one run on one hit with two walks and four Ks. Daniel Palencia finished up the rest of the inning. He gave up one run on one walk and one hit. But Matt Boyd pitched four innings, gave up no runs on three hits with six Ks. His stuff looked really, really good, Dustin. I was really impressed with what I saw from Matt Boyd.
Okay, and so was I. And I read about it, and I watched highlights of it, and his teammates were impressed. My question is this. You could have used Matt Boyd in game number one. You knew there was a pitch count on Shota. Why use, if Boyd is going to be, based on how I think it's lining up, your fourth starter, why not use Boyd to go piggybacking with Shota?
That's a good question.
I mean, was that question asked? I haven't heard it asked.
I don't recall hearing it asked, no.
I mean, and I don't want to hear, well, the timing, you know, it's his day to throw. You flew to Japan, and everybody's days were all jacked up, okay? Right. Everybody's – and that game that they won 4-1 didn't count.
Right.
And then a game that they lost did count, and he's pitching in a game that didn't count. I'm just saying.
It's a fair question to ask, and we'll see, you know, if Craig has some answers when they come back to Mesa. The Cubs offense scored four runs on six hits, but it was the fifth inning that the Cubs scored all their runs thanks to the, you know, some good hitting by their young bucks. PCA led off with a double, stole third, and scored on a Gage Workman single.
Oh, Gage Workman was there? I didn't know he was there. Oh,
he was there. Okay. After a single by Happ and a walk by Tucker, Wild Pitch scored another run, and Saez struck out, but Bush was hit by a pitch to load the bases. Matt Shaw hit a two-run single. Cubs were up 4-0. That's how this one would end. Dustin, the best-looking team of the week wasn't the Cubs or the Dodgers, but the Hanshin Tigers. Not only did they shut the Cubs out 3-0, only giving up three hits, they shut out the Dodgers 3-0 and giving up only three hits. And
maybe they should have played like a little tournament. like a spring training tournament. If you guys want to win, great. If you want to put some B guys out there, great. But these games, you could grow the game without the games counting.
I don't know about that one. I think that making the games mean something. Every time we see exhibition games or all-star games, you know, you never see the best of the best. When they actually have meaning, it changes everything to me. And so I like the way that they play, though. I like the way that they put the bat on the ball. They didn't overswing. They drew their walks. They stole bases. I thought the Tigers played a really fundamental brand of baseball. I thought it was really cool. That takes us to opening day, Dustin. You know, all the hype, all the fanfare, all the anticipation and the photo ops. We finally get to opening day, 5 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Must have been just normal for you.
Yeah, I did my normal thing, except sat around and listened to Pat and Ron and Zach and watched two different versions of it on TV. We had about 60 people over at the Score watching with us and had a great, great little opening day party.
Nice. And you know, Shota didn't disappoint. It was Shota Imanaga versus Yoshinobu Yamamoto. First time in history, the two Japanese pitchers faced each other on opening day, and they didn't disappoint. Shota pitched well, Dustin. He was a little more wild than usual.
Pitched all right. He pitched all right. You know.
Well, he pitched four innings and gave up no runs, no hits, two Ks. It's just the four walks.
Right. Four walks, right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, if you're going four shutout innings against that Dodger lineup, I'm going to be okay with that.
I'm not going to quibble with that right now. Right. It was just that, you know, in the walks, he was able to get out of jams when he gave up the walks. But then, you know, obviously with walks, what does that do? It drives up the pitch count, right?
Right. He had two walks total in his first four starts, Dustin, in 2024, mm-hmm. and six outings with two or more walks the entire season. He never issued four walks in a game. He did walk three batters once in 2024. So Council pulls him after the fourth. Like you said, his pitch count's up to 72. And people were complaining, but Dustin, I mean, it was clear that they weren't going to have more than 65, 70 pitches.
Yeah, I thought the timing of it, I didn't mind the timing of it. I minded that Ben Brown was then the person to come in.
But, I mean, I think a lot of people wanted to see Ben Brown, and this is kind of a
you
test.
You could have seen him against the Giants or the Lions. You didn't need to see him against the Dodgers is my point.
Is Ben Brown going to be a big part of this team?
I believe Ben Brown will be probably the fifth starter when they need him, and he'll probably come out of the bullpen before that.
You would have preferred – see, I mean,
it was just like when he went out there, Crowley, it felt like he was working on stuff. Felt like a spring training game. It felt like he was out there working on stuff is all.
I mean, I don't know about working about stuff. I do know that, you know, he had a lot of good pitches. He just kind of got into a little bit of trouble. And, you know, honestly, I was more concerned with the offense because we knew that the offense.
Amen. Listen, again, you're 100% right. You don't win many games when you score one run. Okay.
Right.
Facts are facts. I totally get that. Totally get that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Right. And so we know that the season slipped away from the Cubs during a two-month collective slump in May and June last year. And that game felt like one of those months. You know, the Cubs only scored one run on three hits. The Cubs only had one hit and one base runner. The Cubs had only one hit and one base runner after the second inning. So from the third through the ninth inning, one hit, one base runner.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, the 21 straight, right? I mean, yep. It was ridiculous.
Saya, Tucker, ridiculous. Bush, Happ, Shaw, PCA, Birdie, all offers. Ian Happ looked good in the leadoff spot, Dustin. And
getting on base, right? Mm-hmm.
I really like that. And this was the opening day lineup. Happ, Suzuki, Tucker, Bush, Shaw, Swanson, Crow Armstrong, Amaya, Birdie. I mean, I think that's really pretty much what I don't have a problem with this lineup as it's constructed.
Well, the only thing I would say, I mean, if a rookie making his debut is batting ahead of Dansby Swanson, that seems odd to me.
When I look at that, the only thing I was thinking about when I saw that is that you want to have a little bit of protection for Shaw, right? And so, you know, that's my only thing is having Swanson behind Shaw. You know, I don't know yet. I'm not saying it's bad. It's something that I want to see and see how it works. I get, you know, everyone's going to bring up the paycheck. I don't know. I think Matt Shaw, I want to see what he develops as a hitter. And that may be the right spot for him. Now, maybe they'll move him down after a few weeks. Who knows? But right now, I'm not going to overanalyze it as far as the lineups are concerned. The Cubs actually had the lead in this one, Dustin. Dansby Swanson had the first MLB hit of the season and scored on an Amaya double, right?
Amaya had the first run batted in, right? Yeah.
Yep. Great to see Miggy with that great at bat. And then, again, 21 straight. But, boy, one run against that Dodgers lineup is not going to hold. And then we talked about Ben Brown. It started out good. He struck out the first batter, but then it's just walks, Dustin. And that's the thing when you have young pitchers.
Right. Walks will kill anybody. You know, right. They'll kill any pitcher.
But with a young pitcher, that's, you know, you're going to see more of those walks. And he walks, he gets one out. He walks the number nine hitter, Andy Páez, right in front of Shohei Ohtani. Yeah.
I mean, that's not what you want. You want to get him out, and then you want to walk Shohei Ohtani.
Right, and so once Ohtani singles, puts runners on the corners. Tommy Edmonds hits a sinking liner to left. Happ couldn't make the play. Game's tied. Runners at first and second, one out. Teoscar Hernandez hits a chopper to Shaw. They get the runner at second, but Birdie should have pocketed that. They threw the throw to first was wild.
Ooh, is that bad? That kind of Little League stuff. I don't know, maybe not Little League, but at least like high school stuff. You know, as you said, pocket that stuff. Birdie's there because he's not going to make that mistake.
Right.
Supposedly, but he did.
Yeah, he wasn't going to get that double play. Ohtani scores on the air, and then Will Smith had an RBI single before Brown struck out Muncy, but the damage is done.
Damage is done.
And against the Dodgers, that's all it takes for that good of a team, right? Is you're looking there, and you have, you know, you walk the ninth batter in front of Ohtani. You commit two errors. The Birdie one, Shaw had one at third. You're not going to beat a team like the Dodgers doing that. I mean, you might get away with it against the White Sox or the A's, something like that. You're not going to get away with that against the Dodgers. And then, Dustin, just to make matters worse, to see Tanner Scott blow the Cubs away in the ninth, it looked like the Cubs were going to have him sign and the Dodgers snatched him. That just peeved me off.
A little rubbing in rubbing your face in it, right?
God, Tanner Scott looked good. Game two, the Cubs are going to lose 6-3. After losing game one, you hope the Cubs could get the split with Steele on the mound and rookie Roky Sasaki, pitching for the Dodgers. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. You had some bad calls, some mistakes, and the Cubs not able to hit with runners in scoring position, our favorite.
Boy, does that sound like a theme again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. After the Cubs' offense was non-existent in game one, they actually out-hit the Dodgers in game two. And so, you know, John Birdie, I think, kind of really said it best when they asked him about what happened in that game.
He was a little amped up, throw him pretty hard, and we just stayed patient with it, and unfortunately, we just couldn't get the big hit at the big time.
That was it, Dustin. You couldn't get the big hit at the big time.
Cubs had 8 hits, I believe, and Birdie had 3 of them.
Yeah, and so all the people that wanted to
in the nine hole, the guy in the nine hole had 3 hits. Meanwhile, your 2, 3, and 4 hitters, 1 for 21 in 2 games, and the one, a double in the bottom of the ninth by Kyle Tucker, who barely hit the ball other than maybe twice out of the infield.
Yeah, and you looked at some of those situations, you know, bottom of the second, down 2-0, Bush and Swanson draw walks against the Sasaki, one out, PCA had a really rough series. He lined 1-2 shortstop Miguel Rojas for an unassisted double play. Bottom of the third, they're down 3-0, Birdie infield single, and then they draw 3 straight walks, right? The third walk to Kyle Tucker forces in a run. It's now 3-1, base is still juiced. But Sasaki strikes out Michael Bush and Matt Shaw, and that just killed you right there. If you're Michael Bush, you have to make contact, or you can't strike out.
Well, and speaking of Michael Bush, okay, I'm pro Michael Bush, but Michael Bush is batting fourth, and he got pinch hit for in both games. You don't pinch hit your fourth hitter. You don't.
Yeah. I wonder if they just don't trust him against righties. I don't know. I know they did put in Justin Tucker to be in there, but bases loaded, one out, and only one run, Dustin, and that run came from a
killer
walk.
Absolutely killer. Yep.
Bottom, fourth down, 5-1. The Cubs had runners at first and second, two outs. Ian Happ hits an RBI single to make it 5-2, but Seiya Suzuki struck out to end the inning, ending that threat. Bottom, fifth, two outs, Matt Shaw single, scores on a Swanson double, 6-3 game. But, you know, you still got runners at first and second, but PCA flies out to end the inning. And from the second to the fifth inning, just all these opportunities to put up a crooked number, but they just got, you know, three straight innings with just one run.
Right. So the offense was definitely the problem in game number two. In game number one, the defense and the pitching let them out a little bit.
Right. And when you take a look, the one thing that irritated me, when you look at Justin Steele's line in the game, four innings pitch, he gave up five hits, five runs, one walk, five Ks. He gave up two home runs. But if you watched a game, there was a couple of just really bad calls and decisions that ended up hurting the Cubs, along with a passed ball. And once again, seven walks in this game, you have to attack the Dodgers, and they didn't do that.
Right.
They didn't do it. And that's what drives you nuts. But in the second, Dustin, Steele issues a leadoff walk to Will Smith. How many times is that going to hurt you, right? Max Muncy doubles, but runners at second and third, no outs. And then a passed ball scores a run, followed by a sack fly. So, you know, I don't know if there's just a mix-up between Carson Kelly.
Looked like it. I mean, it looked like he had no idea where the ball was going.
And those things are going to happen. And then stupid Tommy Edman, who I can't stand, hits a solo home run to make it a 3-0 game in the third. But then, Dustin, the first controversial call happens in the fourth inning. Mm-hmm. One on, one out. Kike Hernandez is up to bat. Steele has him at 1-2, right? It's a 1-2 count. He's got it. Steele's got him all where he wants him. And then what ends up happening is that home plate umpire just absolutely botches his call. Alan Porter, he calls the fourth pitch a ball. If you're watching on the Crawley's Clubhouse YouTube page, you could see the pick right here. It's clearly a strike, Dustin. Like, not one of those barely on the lines, clearly in the zone. It is called a ball. So instead of that being the second out of the inning, it's a 2-2 count. And then Kike Hernandez is going to hit a home run. And that's going to really obviously put the Cubs down 5-1. But just irritating, Dustin. I'm not going to try to do this all season, but boy, oh boy, ABS challenge system right there. That was the time. Just
right.
So
that and you know, maybe next year it's a different story, but it's like, I don't know why they're tiptoeing this thing in there.
The next umpire decision that went against the Cubs happened in the fifth. One out, Shohei Ohtani is up. He hits a deep fly ball to right. And then, Dustin, I don't know how to say Bartman in Japanese, but it looks like maybe, and again, the ball is right. I don't know if you can see it's right above the writing right here. It definitely goes off the hand of a player. And right away, Kyle Tucker's pointing up. It gets challenged. I was listening to 670, the score at this time, and Coom thought it was interfered with. But at the end of the day, it was ruled no interference, solo home run.
Well, I think the problem was they called it a home run on the field.
And
right?
Maybe
they called it a home run on the field. I mean, to me, it clearly hit the guy, the ball hit the fan's hand.
Right. And
no doubt about it.
They weren't going to take a home run away from Shohei Ohtani in the Tokyo Dome. That might have caused a riot. Yeah. And so I'm not
a national incident.
But I don't think that was going to happen. And look, the Cubs didn't get swept in the series because of umpires or,
No.
When you're playing a team as good as the Dodgers, the last thing you need are these type of situations going against you, whether it was the bad strike three call to Kike or whether it was that, interference. Like, just don't need those breaks going against you against the Dodgers. Cubs had one more chance in the ninth. Kyle Tucker hit a two-out double for the first Cubs hit of the inning. And then pinch hitter Justin Turner drew a walk. A home run would tie it, but Matt Shaw grounded to end the game. Cubs lose 6-3. Cubs offense was 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. They left on base.
Woof.
Again, Dustin, it sucks. I was hoping for a split. To me, that was best case scenario. I was
correct. Correct. I mean, a split, I'd have felt fine with it. I would have felt totally fine with it. But and there's these little things. It's the errors that bother me, Crawley. It's the 1-for-21 with the 2-3-4. It's the plan. It's the plan. Like, oh, you know, Shota's on a – I get that he's on a pitch count, but I don't like the idea that Ben Brown was the next pitcher.
I think more than anything, when I take a look at this, you know, it's trying not to overreact to two games, and it's going to be it was a tough matchup against a team that to me is clearly the top of the class in MLB. I believe, and you can mark this down here, I believe that the Dodgers will break the single season win total of 116 games. Done by who, Dustin?
I believe the Mariners, right? Lou Piniella managing, right?
In 2001, but there was one team that also had 116 games, but they did it in a small, shorter season, the 1906 Cubs. So the 1906 Cubs did it with a 152-game schedule. Their 763 win percentage is the highest on record since 1900, but I have a feeling that the Dodgers will win over 116 games. But
I'm sure you can make a bet on that, right?
I'm sure you can. You know better than me. I'm not a gambling man.
Total. I wonder what their win total is. I should look that up.
But I will tell you, I would be a lot more upset at how it turned out. The Dodgers bullpen was phenomenal. The Dodgers starting pitcher, other than you had Roky on the ropes at that one time, especially bases loaded, one out.
Yeah, but he's going to be special. I mean, that guy was popping 90 the whole time.
Yes, and so you have this Dodgers team to me is phenomenal. I'm not going to sit there and overreact to the two games. I'm not going to reconstruct lineups. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, we should have gone Matt Boyd. I mean, maybe. That's probably the one thing that, you know, made me wonder the most is why you wouldn't, you know, piggyback both starters, your 1-2-3-4 starters. You know, why you wouldn't have piggybacked Tyone after Shota and piggyback Boyd after Justin Steele. That would have been the way I would have done it.
Yeah.
One way or the other. Either way, you could flip it however you wanted, but that would have been the way I would have done it. But in general, you know, there were some mistakes made, but, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say to myself, oh my God, we lost to the Dodgers. The Cubs are going to suck this year. Same old, same old. Yeah, there's some things that do feel like that way. That's just how we're conditioned. Let's wait and see what happens. But I'm going to tell you, Dustin, this first month of the season on the Cubs schedule, when you have to play all these good teams, that
is going to be difficult. Super hard schedule to start.
If the Cubs, to me, if they can get through April at 500, that's all I'm asking for, 500, then I think that they're going to win 90 games and win the division and make the postseason. But if they fall too far behind in April, that has me a little bit nervous. When you have the Dodgers, now you just face you're going to have to face the Diamondbacks the first four games with a great, great pitching staff and a really good lineup. You have the A's, which you should take those games, but the A's are better than they've been in the past.
A's are better, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't count that as that. Then you got the Padres and the Rangers. Rangers won the World Series.
Those two teams are in for it. I mean, the Padres aren't going anywhere. They're trying to make some noise.
Then the Dodgers and Padres again. Then the Diamondbacks again. And then the Dodgers. They play the Dodgers three times basically in a month, and then they don't see them again. And then you finish with the Phillies, who we know how good they are, and then the Pirates. And so basically, if you look at last year, which I know throw that out, but you really, I mean, there's two teams that you would consider not good teams, the Athletic and the Pirates, and we've talked about how the A's have gotten better, and the Pirates, I mean, who knows who you're catching when those pitchers come around. If you got to see a Paul Skeens in that at the end of the month, you know, who they have
for
going.
For the fans, you hope to see him, but from a baseball standpoint, you hope to avoid him. Yeah.
So you got to get through April 500, and I think the Cubs will be okay. If you don't, then you start digging yourself out a hole again, and we just seen how that's gone the last 2 years.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.